Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, wind's in my ear.
And welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft and couples therapist Dr. David Sanford. And for the first time in the history of the show, we're all here at the same time. So it's very exciting. And we will be boldly going out on the podosphere once again, all together this time, where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined once again toward the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neuro Rehabilitation Services, and he will have some cutting edge research on the brain. So here are my darn guys, buddies. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Jim.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Hughes. Here we are once again.
Once again? No, for the first time, David.
Oh, here we are for the first time. We do meet in various each other's offices and homes.
So we're actually in each other's presence once again.
Yes.
So on the very first day of June, a whole new month, beautiful day out there, and we've got an interesting topic here this morning: money and relationships.
Oh yes.
Yes. So hopefully we'll have some callers come in with some comments and questions, and you can access us at 347-677-1667. So, who wants to start, guys?
I'll start.
Oh, good.
Money. Do you know that money is one of the greatest problems, sources of conflict in marriage and other relationships? You do know that.
I do know that.
Why would you say that is so?
Well, I mean, you want to start out that way? I'll be glad to answer that. I think it has to do with power, and there's no place where that power differential or power issue gets played out more concretely than with money. So I think some of the other issues can be finessed, but that one I think goes to
that's a big one.
Yeah.
You
have some other ideas?
Oh, I think money is about power, like Jim just hinted at, and or just was very.
I said it very directly.
You were very direct about it. But that's what I was going to comment on. It's like a lot of people avoid the discussion around money. It's one of it's a powerful thing, and I think a lot of people have a hard time talking about it, so they tend to brush it under the carpet and avoid it or be in denial about it. And, you know, in the current news today, there's a lot of people in a lot of fiscal, personal bankruptcy situations and et cetera, et cetera. And part of that's probably because of a struggle about how do we talk about this and how do we navigate the differences around money too. So,
yeah, it's the differences is the part that I pick up on. I mean, I'm sure, power is a major source of difficulty where money is concerned. But I think just being a little bit more general about it, that the root of it is really differences that have to do with different meanings that people give to money. I mean, for example, if you think of couples that one person in which a relationship in which one person is a sort of live in the present person, and the other one is a live in the future person, then right there, almost inevitably you've got one source of conflict, which is that one person sees money as abundance,
right,
and the other person sees money as security. So let's take the money that we've got and spend it on a really grand vacation.
Right.
No, we shouldn't do that. You know, junior's college expenses are only 3 years away.
Right. And that, you know, I think couples who have differences, including differences around money, can use those differences to complement each other. You know, one person might be wanting to spend too much money. The other person might be wanting to sort of hoard money more or be more, frugal about it. And they can balance each other. And the question is, you know, can you achieve some balance? And I think Hughes, you had a good point in terms of not talking about it is a big problem, because then you can't use that difference to balance each other. You sort of keep it together. You do. You kind of act out your differences rather than talk out your differences and work out your differences to find a balance. Mm.
It's also.
Go ahead. I was just thinking, too, another difference is, and I think you hinted at this, David, that some people are more comfortable with money than others. Some people know and have an understanding about how to work with money, how to make a budget, for example, how to space things out relative to a billing cycle with personal bills. And some people really are overwhelmed or really struggle with the idea of having a relationship with money. So in some relationships, not all, but this is kind of more the different some different styles that people have. You know, somebody in the relationship may run the household finances, where the other one kind of just makes the money and puts it in the checkbook and never looks at the budget or the household budget month to month. Go ahead.
Is it your experience that when that's the case, that one person is the expert on money, so to speak, and pays the bills and does all the banking and so forth, does that person generally have more power in the sense that that person can say no and have it stick?
They have more power. Yeah, because they're the ones who need to kind of put the reins on spending or have to be the no-fun people by saying, no, we can't take that lavish vacation or go to that restaurant this Friday night because we can't afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the thing relative to the relationship piece is to have a way to talk about this stuff, because the biggest piece that can happen underneath of that is a resentment. You know, I can't do this because they're telling me I can't do that, versus the lack of money ensuring that we can't do that.
In other words, we all tend to personalize disputes about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, we tend to get judgmental about it. And for example, you're only taking this position because you think I'm irresponsible, or you're only taking this position because you have to have power over everything.
Or you're cheap.
Or you're cheap, right. You put a label on it. And the only way to handle that situation, really, going back to, Jim, what you said about balance, the way you have to handle that is legitimize the differences between the two of you. Once you've got them legitimized, then you can begin to compromise. And if you don't legitimize the other person's position as legitimate but different from yours, there's no way you can happily compromise.
Excellent.
You can only give in, you know.
Right. You know, in my experience, the couples that I see in my practice, a number of times, I'm really surprised they don't have any idea how much money they have or how much money they spend. They just know.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah. I didn't want to name names, David.
I named my own. All right, I won't do that anymore. No more canter on this show. Absolutely.
But, you know, it sometimes is a huge chore to get them to make a budget. It's like, you know, don't want to know how much money we've got. Don't want to know how much money we spend. Because then, you know, you have to make some tough choices, and you have to
That's
you have
it.
To make some discipline. And yeah. And it's hard to get couples to get to that point. They know something's wrong, but boy, that next step is tough.
And it is indeed. I mean, that's assuming a level of responsibility that some people just, you know, they either rather argue about it or they'd really rather live in sort of a magical consciousness, you know, that I've got it until someday I don't, and I'm not going
right.
to think about it.
Right. Right, but they're in pain about it. You know, because obviously they have less money at the end of the month. I mean, they have, you know, a negative balance at the end of the month. But it really is hard to get that discipline, that new behavior that says, you know, you're gonna have to give some things up. You're gonna have to make some
right.
hard choices.
Sure.
Yeah.
Discomfort.
Right.
So this culture of ours is so much capitalistic that, you know, everywhere you turn, it is about being encouraged to spend money or to take advantage of something or to kind of live the good life. And we don't have much reminders about the necessity for budgeting or making some changes to live more in line with reality month to month with month to month monies, you know. And
right.
We're promoted to consume, and there's discomfort by saying I can't do that. I'm sorry, I can't do that, and that can be a hard thing to do for people. So living
yeah,
in that fantasy is a lot easier.
There was in today's New York Times there was an op-ed piece by Paul Krugman, in which he said that the savings rate in this country before Reagan, the savings rate in this country was vastly higher than it has been progressively since Reagan came to office. Before Reagan, the last savings rate was like 10%. And you know, up until the bottom fell out, what was it? It was kind of like minus 1% or something like that. People were saving nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I read this crazy report, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it suggested that a lot of people are planning to fund their retirements by lottery winnings.
well, I guess, you know, true confessions, that's what I'm doing.
That's a shocking admission, James. A shocking admission.
Jim's calling us from Atlantic City, aren't you, or Las Vegas?
That's right.
You're at the table right now. There's just a bevy of gorgeous women around you, and you're going to take a break and let those dice roll, right?
As they say, somebody's got to win. It might as well be me.
Okay, listen. Here are two other differences that here are two other ways in which the meaning that is given to money by at least one person, if not both in a relationship, is bound to be a source of conflict. Money is punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you take the credit card and you go out to the mall and you let her rip, you know, after you've had a bad fight with your spouse or something like that, mm-hmm. and, you know, bring home whatever it is you bring home, I mean, that's really,
mm-hmm.
the intent of that is punishment. And it uses the credit card as the weapon of punishment.
Yeah, I think that's you know, a way of acting out rather than talking about the issue. You know, I'm feeling bad. I feel bad about what happened with our fight or our discussion or disagreement or whatever. And let's talk about that. Let's work that through. Rather, I'm going to act out my disappointment, my frustration, my anger at you by doing something that can be, you know, pretty destructive to the, you know, the integrity, the financial integrity of the family. So,
yeah.
I want to go back to what I think, I'm not sure which one of you, what was said earlier about the one who had budget, who made the budget, and if you did the finances, being in control and having power. Sometimes that's true, and sometimes that can be a very helpless position if the other party in the relationship is going out and spending, without control and without an agreement in the couple. That can be a very irresponsible position, but also a very powerful position.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, so that whole dining room set, so that fight that I had with my wife, and she went out and bought a dining room set, every time I look at it, I'm just irritated by it. So I get it. That's
all right.
An example.
This is getting to be true confessions today. I don't know.
Then there's another one, is money is independence.
True.
It's my money. I can do what I want with it.
Right. Right.
And I think, in fact, I think everybody should have a certain degree of financial independence.
Yeah.
And there are very reasonable, rational relationships in which the couple decides that each of us is going to have the same amount of money to spend, over which the other person can't even express an opinion.
Right.
I think that's a good idea.
I do, actually. It depends on making sure that's an amount of money that's discretionary spending. That you really have that money. And absolutely, I think there should be, a certain amount of dependency on each other and a certain amount of independence. And when that's, a kind of a dance that flows well, that's wonderful, and especially if it can be, included in the area of money. Sometimes you have enough money to be able to do that. Sometimes you're just, getting by, and every penny really is spoken for.
So what if you got 15, what if you agree that all we can afford is $15 a week for each of us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know anybody who can live with that?
With $15 of discretionary money?
I mean really disciplined, reasonable people who say, "Oh boy, my $15."
Well, you can spend it any way you want, or you can let it accumulate and then spend it as a bigger amount. But some people have to live that way. There's no question about it.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, if it's about the greater good of the family budget, that's what you need to live within until things change.
Right. Especially in today's economic times, there are a lot of families who are having to get in touch with that. They did have a lot more discretionary spending, and things
Absolutely.
Were a lot looser, and it's hard to make that adjustment to the new reality. Really different approach and a different lifestyle. Then you've got to think about all kinds of things that you can do that are enjoyable and free. Rather than going out to a restaurant and having a picnic or to make it special. Those kinds of things.
Okay, here's a related one. Okay. And tell me whether you guys agree with this or not. I think that where money is concerned, attitude is a very important consideration. I mean, for some people, money basically is scarcity, and no matter how much they have, it's not enough.
Right.
And for other people, money is abundance, no matter how little they have. I mean, we have, Joyce and I, the house that we have in Mexico, the people who live right next to us, are very, very poor, very poor. I mean, they live in a little cinder block house with no windows in it. And because of the climate, they live outside a good deal. But basically, there's a large family living somehow in there. And regularly, there's somebody's birthday or some kind of festival or whatever, and there's always food, The food is always brought out. All sorts of other people arrive. We're invited over, that kind of thing. And in the midst of all of this, smiles and good feelings and stuff, I keep reminding myself these people have almost nothing. particularly relative to what we ourselves have and what many people say in the United States or elsewhere in Mexico have.
Correct.
So it's attitude. I think it's part of it is attitude.
Oh, absolutely. David, you and I are children of parents who went through the Depression. Hughes, you're a little younger. I'm not sure.
I didn't have parents.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
You didn't have.
Sorry to bring up the
sore
subject.
It happens occasionally, you know.
Yeah. No, but good, Jim. You have a really good point here about just a big difference, a change in generation to generation in
yeah.
attitude towards money.
Right, but you know that my parents talked about some of it is you know I walked 10 miles to school uphill both ways, but you know my parents talked about. You know, how much you could have fun on very little during those depression years.
And, they did, you know, yeah.
Yeah, Christmas could be an orange, and that was, you know,
for me, it was
treat.
A handkerchief, as I recall, a handkerchief. I got a lot of underwear and handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, really? Which we don't want to go into.
No, I guess not. I don't want to spoil your point, because I think it's,
yeah,
it's very true of that generation.
Yeah, and when you don't have money, I mean, I remember back when I was a starving graduate student, and the little things were real special and meant a lot, you know. And sometimes when you have more money, you can tend to lose sight of that and think that the only things that are exciting or valuable or whatever are something that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
hey, listen, guys, I'm gonna bring in Mark Kiefner for a minute on the mind with a little brain research if you are ready for that. So let's say hello to Dr. Mark Kiefner. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Hughes. Hi, David.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
I've been listening, and I've been sitting here thinking, what could I possibly talk about related to the brain discussion?
do you want us to shut off your mic and come back later?
Call me next week. the only thing I'm thinking about is kind of the ways in which money is one of those topics or areas in which we've developed a whole bunch of unconscious habits. And how the meaning of money gets woven into our actions, but without a lot of consciousness about it. And so I actually don't have a brilliant minute on the mind about that today, but
we'll be the judge of that.
You'll be the judge of that, but as will the listeners. But I find myself kind of wondering about in your work with people, how much do you make money a conscious topic and the meaning of money a conscious topic in your work?
Oh, wow.
Not very often. It depends on whether somebody comes in with a problem with that. Much more with couples, I think, than individuals. Because couples seem to have, I mean, as David mentioned earlier, you know, it's one of the top conflicts in relationships. And so much more it comes in or is brought in with couples, but not so much with individuals unless they've got a particular issue that they bring in that they're struggling with about money.
With couples, though, as you say, right? With couples, it's really and every time I bring up money explicitly, mm-hmm. there's a kind of sort of quality in the room about here we go.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was one recently in which I saw a couple for a while that said that the only way they could see me was if I would reduce my fee. Mm-hmm. So I did. But then I didn't see them for like 9 months or something. And the one who made out the check started to make out a check for the same amount as before. And I said, you didn't ask me if that was still the same rate. Everybody but me went kind of, oh!
Yeah.
But there it was. I mean, it was a real topic, you know.
Sure.
This thing has to be negotiated. We have to talk about this.
Yeah, and I think people are very reluctant or embarrassed to talk about money. It's one of the subjects nobody wants anybody to know, you know, how much they make. You know, it's considered you know, very, very private, number.
Well, yeah, I find it interesting that in our clientele, you know, all of whom have some sort of neurologic injury, money and managing money and functioning with money seems to be one of the skills that's almost uniformly impaired.
Oh, wow.
I suspect it's because it's one of those skills that's acquired later in life. You know, you don't really sort of manage money until you're in your teens, and for many people, they're 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like learning to write or learning the alphabet or learning your times tables. Really a kind of a set of skills that you don't pick up until later. And so I think that it's one of those learned skill sets that really creates conflicts between people. We see tons of couples, tons of married couples, where the one partner has a stroke or an injury, and money becomes a central issue because the person just can't manage it the way they did. And you end up juggling the whole relationship because now that person can't function in the same way they did, so the roles really have to change.
And speaking of it from an
go ahead, you.
I was just thinking, just coming from an educational standpoint, me having kids, in the school systems, there is no formal education around money management, money acumen. You know, we're finally doing sex ed, but there's no money ed, money education. And you know, you just talked about it being an unconscious thing. It is a setup. If we don't give people the skills to know how to do money and then assume that they're going to know that they're going to be okay with it later on in life. And there is a lot of privacy around it, and there's some shame in asking for some help around it, too, in today's world. So it's very powerful.
There's also a culture up until recently, but I think still continuing, in which banks, other organizations that offer credit cards bombard people who are, you know, like freshmen in college or whatever.
Younger than that, there's
free
one
money, you know.
Yeah,
and the culture
even
is. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I interrupted you.
I will tell you that I see high school kids getting offers for credit cards.
It's younger than that, I was going to say.
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
They have this kitty that's, you know, really, really for preteens that is on credit cards. And there's the only way that has any marketing relevance is to market to really young kids. Really young kids. You know, we didn't even get into that, which is really an interesting question in terms of families and relationships and how you manage money with kids. You know, what do you do with them? We didn't even get into that, and now we're out of time. So we got to go.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Darn you guys. You darn guys. So
you mean there's a time limit to this? We just can't roll on and on?
We
great Mississippi.
It's just like money. There's an
there you go.
Limits to it, David. Yes.
Absolutely.
Nice segue.
Excellent. Now,
nice
see,
segue.
Well, we brought it full circle.
That was a brilliant minute on the mind moment, right?
It was.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Listen.
Next week.
See you next week with another interesting topic. Great group of guys.
Can I
really,
really quickly say we could have another? We could have another session on money.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying we should, but there's a lot more to be said on that topic of almost universal interest.
We will debate that when we get together to plan the future shows. Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
See you, everybody.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Well, in the evening, we get together, long day. So many times alone, and you take Take me away.